O God, take our lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and fill them with love for you. In Christ's name we pray. It is our joy to be with you, St. George's on Young. I'm here with my beloved wife, Mary. Wave, Mary. And we are so grateful to have this opportunity of celebrating the tail end of a celebration of 100 years of ministry in this place, and to do so on the patronal festival of St. George. And it is wonderful to be here with your clergy, especially Father Leonard. Thank you, Leonard, for your leadership, for your strength of character, your compassion, your gentleness in pulling a people together, especially during these last few years of pandemic that have been so wearisome for so many, and the strength that you have brought. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are such a treasure. Thank you. And also to be here with Sister Connie, who is everywhere, it seems. She has such a gift of prayer and presence from the sisters, and it has been part of this community for so many years. For the grace that you bring, always with you, Connie, thank you. And of course, our newest arrival, Father Pierre. Pierre, we are so grateful that you are here, putting down roots and spreading the joy that is in you, that is fueled by the gospel. Thank you. For all of the clergy who have taken their time over 100 years of history in this place, both in this building and in the previous building and the previous and all the way down, who have taken their turn to stand at the lectern and open scripture, who have taken their turn in pouring water for baptism, who have stood in the center of the chancel to join hands in matrimony, to bid farewell and to bury the dead, and to stand at this table in breaking bread and pouring out wine, and to invite a community down through time to engage in a sacramental life. Imagine if we could collect them all here this morning, the men and the women who have been so faithful in their call to help this community arrive safely at this point 100 years later. Now, our clergy are vitally important, but just as important as the clergy are you, and you, and you. Because ministry is not the sole purview of clergy. Ministry is an enterprise to which all of us are summoned by virtue of our baptism. When we say yes to our baptism, the kingdom of God comes near. When we say yes to offering our time, our talent, and our treasure, the church of God comes to life. When we say yes to our covenant, the mystical body of Christ is made known in the world. So whether you serve as a warden or in the choir or in serving our children or in pastoral care or hospitality or outreach or social justice, and the list goes on, the gifts that you impart brings the kingdom into the midst in a fresh and new way. And so for 100 years, faithful servants like you have served in this place, and I am grateful for them, and I am grateful for you. Thank you. Now, birthdays come and go. Some of them we celebrate with lots of enthusiasm. Some of them we avoid. Some of us are 29 and 39 for a very long time. And some of them are like rites of passage. When you're 16, you can drive. When you're 18, you can vote. When you're 19, you can drink alcohol legally. When you're 21, you can drink alcohol legally everywhere. When you're 40, you discover that you don't know as much as you thought. They promised us freedom at 55, retirement at 65. But every year that you get closer to 100, a deeper sense of gratitude for every breath, every memory, every experience of the one gift that you and I share in, the most precious gift that God has given to each of us, life. The gift of life that God has given to us, we give thanks every day. And what's true for individuals is true for communities too. To imagine this community back in 1922, as it was growing up alongside a community that was growing from the soil, of a community that had just come through the First World War, a pandemic, and then to move into a Great Depression, and the story would take it from there. Of faithful people who would come into a building, and then another, to celebrate God in their presence, in their midst. Imagine if the walls that were and are a part of this place could speak. The stories that they would tell of faithful people just like yourself who bring burden and gratitude Sunday by Sunday. A few years ago, Mary and I had the joy of going to a visit, a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. It was part of a pre-Lambeth pilgrimage. 14 archbishops and bishops from around the world and their spouses. And for about 12 days, we traveled all over the Holy Land. And one day we went to the West Wall, or the Wailing Wall, some would know it, the last remaining remnant of the Temple Mount, a holy place of prayer. And on that day, we, along with so many other pilgrims, would take our turn to stand at the wall and to pray. And as many of you, if you've been there before, often the tradition of taking a piece of paper with your prayers and intercessions on them and to place them in the crevice of the wall. So a day before, I started writing a few names down, and I'd get two or three, and I put that little piece of paper in my pocket. And then I think of a few more, and I write them down. And over the course of a whole day, I filled both sides of the piece of paper. It's amazing when you think of those that you want to pray for, that it takes intentionality to spend the time to prepare to pray. So often we come into church, and when the prayers of the people come, we're trying to remember the people we wanted to pray for, and we forget. So if you wander in this sermon, think about all the people you want to pray for today. So when it was our turn to arrive at the wall, I arrived with the Bishop of Pennsylvania who had been there before. It was a little like following a linebacker through lines as we bobbed and weaved our way, and an opening happened, and we stood before the wall, and I simply closed my eyes. And then I put my hand on the wall, and I was so surprised to feel how smooth the stone was, that had been worn by time and by wind and by hands that had been there before. And I just sat and or stood there in absolute silence and felt the inner stirring of the Holy Spirit just stirring inside of me, like a wooden spoon in a pot of sauce, just stirring me into a silence and quietness. And after a while, I came out, and I said amen, and I took my little piece of paper, and I tried to shove it into the cracks, but there were so many pieces of paper that had been left behind by so many, some within reach, and so I had to put it way up high. Imagine the numbers of pieces of paper that you could cram into crevices of this building and the previous buildings of ordinary people like yourselves who have brought the burdens and the pains and the joys to God and to leave them there. Imagine the community that has to this point 100 years of history, who have joined together under the banner of a name, St. George. patron saint of Bulgaria, Romania, Georgia, Portugal, England, and a whole list of others. I had prayed at least for 20 years under that name as a young person. St. George's, St. Anne de Bellevue in the West Island of Montreal, St. George's, St. Catharines, from 1966 to 1986. At the back of the church in St. Anne de Bellevue, there's a little niche in the wall. And in that niche, there is a wooden sculpture of St. George defeating the dragon. The coolest thing about that little niche is it had a light. So as a little kid, I used to love going to the back when the sermons were long and boring and turning that light on and off and just imagining George and the dragon and that cosmic battle. And we know the story as it's set down in the 11th or 12th century in Cappadocia of a little village that had been tormented and abused by a dragon that wanted to, that had such a need to be satiated for trinkets and livestock. And once the trinkets and the livestock had been eradicated, they would then give over a human sacrifice. And the villagers would just be placated by living that way until one day the princess was chosen to be sacrificed. And that's when George intervened and defeated the dragon. It's the stuff of fairy tales. It's the stuff of animated movies. It's the storyline that we know so well. It's also the stuff of faith, of a community that is facing the trials, the tribulations, the demons and the dragons that often strive to slay us, that are defeated by a community of faith. And that is what our gospel is about today. That journey of facing demons and dragons is not done willfully, but in sacrifice. On the road with the disciples had just witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. The question is put to them, who do others say that I am? And some of the disciples say, you're John the Baptist. Some say you're the prophet. Some say you're Elijah. But who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. You are the dragon slayer. You are the one who faces demons. You are the one who subjugates demons and places them underfoot. And Jesus then gives them a pathway through that. It's not by willful strength, but by sacrifice. The Son of Man will be he'll be arrested, he will be mocked, he will be crucified, and on the third day he will rise again. Those who wish to save their life will lose it. Those who deny their life will save it. Meister Eckhart, a 14th century mystic, once said, "The soul grows not by addition, but by subtraction." The soul grows not by addition, but by subtraction. It is when we let go. It is when we let go for the other, when we sacrifice, that we grow. In a world that lusts after power, we are called to give away and sacrifice. In a world that longs for wealth and strength and gated communities, we are called to build community and harmony with each other, not just as brothers and sisters, but with the whole of creation. In a world that tries to settle things by getting even, by using guns, even a van, we are summoned to see in each other agents of shalom and forgiveness and mercy, and striving to support all in our communities, especially those who suffer from mental health issues, the most vulnerable, the homeless, the despondent, the despairing. 5 years ago, in front of this building, we faced a terrible massacre. And what was your response? You opened your doors. You did not clamor your door shut. You opened your doors to create a place of harmony and a place of sanctuary in a most frightening time. That is the call for us as a Christian community, to stand in those moments with the community around us with that kind of courage. It's the same kind of courage that we hear in our reading from Revelation. The wonderful thing about apocalyptic literature, like the book of Revelation, is it speaks of the future, but mostly it speaks of the present. It speaks of a present hurt, but it speaks of a future that is to come. And the little community in Revelation was being persecuted by the Roman Empire, an empire that was trying to wring the faith out of a little community, to let that faith go. And John the Revelator is saying, hold on, God is coming, God is with you, do not. To an empire that wanted so much to dominate and to subjugate, this little community of Christians would hang on to the dream that God is in our midst, transforming and bringing justice. Bono, some of you know that name, Bono, lead singer of U2, in his book, Surrender, says, the moral universe is not bent towards justice. It needs to be bent. The moral universe does not bend to justice. It needs to be bent. That is the call of the Christian church, to bear witness in those moments, to lean in and to help bend the arc towards justice and peace and mercy. And one day, there will be no more pain, no more crying, no more death, because the old things have withered away. I am so grateful for your arrival at 100 years. And now I'd like you to imagine 100 years from now. Your ancestors in this place back in 1922 could never have imagined this. Never in a million years would they have ever imagined this building, nor this neighborhood. Mary's mother grew up in this neighborhood, and this is where she was baptized. This was where she was married in 1954, April 24th. Your mother could not have imagined when she was a little girl that this would come. Standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before us, knitted together as a body of Christ from all over the world, from the past we move to the future. In a few moments we will bless candlesticks that come from St. Stephen's Comet, Quebec, which is where Mary's grandfather on her father's side, grandmother on her father's side, was baptized. We are knit together in the body. We are brothers and sisters. We are all related. Imagine 100 years from now. What do you see? You know what I see? I see St. George. I see St. George in the midst of a community and a neighborhood that continues to grow and to change and to shift. But here is St. George. I see St. George in the midst of this community that is moving at such a fast pace, that calls a community back into stillness, to be stirred by the Holy Spirit, into a stillness that reminds us that we are all precious in God's sight, all beloved and made in God's image, calling us into the future as people of peace, a people of justice, a people of love. May God bless you, St. George on Yonge Street. May the future open, and may you walk through those doors with grace and confidence in God's love. Amen.